We wondered how the pandemic would affect people's decision on how to vote in person or by mail. So I asked a few of my friends on social media.
I lived in Europe for about 3 years, and I had to do the, absentee voting, and it just didn't seem the same. So once I got back to the States, I've always just gone and done it myself.
No, I voted by mail. It had to do with the social distancing, the threat of COVID-19. Rather than going to a polling place either early or on election day, decided to do it that way.
I feel like mail-in ballots are a perfectly viable option, especially for people that either for transportation issues or people that are have vulnerable health conditions, or for whatever reason, it's important for people's voices to be heard.
Voice of the Public, running an election during a pandemic. Our special guest is Dr. Amanda Lopez-Askin, the Doñana County Clerk. We begin right after NPR News. Welcome to Voice of the Public Coronavirus Update, running an election during a pandemic. This is KC Counts, and on the line, I have Doñana County Clerk, Dr. Amanda Lopez-Askin. Welcome back to KRWG.
Hi, Casey. It's a pleasure to be here. It's nice to hear your voice on air, that's for sure.
Well, thank you so much. It's been about 2.5 months. I've been working at home. I've never been away from a microphone for so long, so please forgive me if I'm a little rusty as we get started.
All right, same here.
Well, let's begin with, and there's so much, really, so much to go over today. And if you would like to call in with questions for Amanda, please dial 646-2212. That's 575-646-2212 to be a part of the show today. I would like to start by saying congratulations on your landslide victory in Tuesday's primary.
Yeah, this was thank you very much. It was the first time I've obviously run for office. I've been in an elected official position for about a year and a half, and I always say that very carefully because, I was acutely aware during that year and a half that I had not been elected by my community, and so I was honored to serve when I for the length of time that I did. But it's definitely very nice to have to feel like some collective support around my leadership and kind of the goals we have in mind for the clerk's office. So I was very happy, as you can imagine, on Tuesday. It was a nice, definitely nice. The returns coming in felt good.
I don't know if there was a wider spread in any other race, as a matter of fact. So definitely a vote of confidence for you moving forward. But now I want to move back a little bit to, say, early March or whenever the discussions began in your office about how coronavirus could potentially impact not only the primary election, but, of course, the upcoming November election as well.
So I think I started to really become aware that there could be issues. I had tuned in, like many people, end of February, was kind of watching it, novel coronavirus. And then at the beginning of March, it was becoming more of a story. And on March 10th was a big day for candidates because that's called filing day. Candidates between the hours of 9 and 5 that day announced their candidacy by filing with the clerk's office. And so a couple of days before that, there had been some news pieces about no longer shaking hands, right? Mm-hmm. And so when candidates came to file, we were all kind of jokingly, kind of bumping elbows and I'd give you a hug, but, that kind of a thing. So I think that was the first day, ironically, a filing day that I thought, this is not good. This is different. Something's shifting. And I think the clerks across the state were kind of getting that understanding that this could be a challenge for us. So literally that was on Tuesday, March 10th, the following week, taking in all the information, looking at all of the predictions. On a Monday, the following Monday, I thought we're going to have to address this. Not just within our office, but also probably at clerk statewide. So our office started being close to the public that following Thursday, which was earlier than most places. But I knew we had to set up a huge infrastructure for people to work from home, because although we were close to the public, the clerk's office is responsible for so many things, including liens and titles and, kind of we're the backbone of the business community in a lot of ways. So that couldn't stop. We need to start talking about elections and what that was going to look like. And so I started doing my research surrounding best practices in terms of, you know, disinfections and of sites and things like that. And then it really started to roll in. The numbers started to rise. The death toll started to rise. And then at that point, I think a couple of weeks after that, the 27 of the 33 clerks, right? There's 33 counties. And so each of us have a clerk, but 27 of us, along with the Secretary of State, did file with the Supreme Court asking for permission if they would allow us to move forward with, I say mostly mail, only because there would have been some service centers open that would have met the needs of people who literally could not vote from home, but an all-mail election. And so when we found out that a date was going to be in April, April 14th to be exact, that was a concern because I knew that was cutting it very, very close in terms of our office was working frantically from home and probably harder from home because our systems were all slowed down. But it was getting close to where if we were not going to run an in-person, if we were going to run an in-person election, we probably needed to come back to the office very soon. So at that point, we were planning both. We were planning both on having an in-person election and potential all-mail and kind of having routes for both of those.
646-2212, Dr. Amanda Lopez-Askin, newly elected Doñana County Clerk, talking about running an election during a pandemic. This is Voice of the Public Coronavirus Update. Thank you for joining us. And if you are, if you have a question or thought you'd like to pass on, 646-2212 is the way to call that in. You can join us on Facebook as well. We are streaming live on Facebook, and I understand some people are starting to have watch parties for our Voice of the Public show. So that's great, but just keep in mind that if you do, if you're having a watch party or doing something along those lines, then please remember to go back to our KRWG page in order to leave a comment or a question. We're happy to have you join us on social media as well. So as you move forward with both of these plans in mind, because you really didn't know how things were going to shake out, tell me what the Supreme Court decision, New Mexico State Supreme Court decision to keep polling places open meant to your office.
So it meant that we needed to return to the office in person immediately to start basically creating that infrastructure and that we need to have in place for voters to vote in person. And the Supreme Court, you know, just to offer this information, the Supreme Court did not decide on the merit, the content of the submission of our case. What they said to us, or collectively, was that they were not the entity that would make that decision on a change in the law. They were not the entity to make it. So what the content was, they were not even, they were very sympathetic and very explicitly stated that an in-person election was a risk to the public. However, their hands were tied in terms of how they thought they could make that decision. Mm. So, they were aware, but also they just felt like they couldn't, respect their decision. And quite frankly, that day it was really hard for, I think, almost all the clerks were on board with it. But we also knew that the next day we had to get to work, and that's what we did. The first thing that we did was we had already established that we had approximately 275 poll officials who'd worked with us over the years, right? We have more of a kind of a list, an ongoing list, and which is quite a few and, you know, have served with us for many years, some of them, some of them were new. But we also knew that when we had started establishing vulnerability in terms of their health and the COVID situation, that there was, I think, 170 that were over the age of 60. And, of course, that 170 did not include those who are vulnerable for other conditions, right, that we just can't tell by age, as well as family members who were potentially vulnerable.
That's I want to spend some time on little bit. In fact, it was my very next question for you. So you got that transition very nicely. But we do have a caller on the line, so I want to get to Joanne, sure, who has been holding. Hi, Joanne. Welcome to Voice of the Public.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thank you. Do you have a question?
Yes. There were quite a few people that either they didn't get their ballot or they were late. And a lot of people that were doing absentee ballot for the first time didn't even know what to do with them if that was the case, whether they should take them to the polls, which they really didn't want to do. So how are we going to make sure this doesn't happen for the November election? And is it the party's responsibility to educate the people, or what are we going to do?
Thank you, Joanne, for that question. It's a good one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you, Joanne. I think that's something I've been answering for you know, I spent the weekend on the phone, quite frankly, talking to voters and talking to people who were concerned. And, you know, even when people were not pleased with our office or me particularly, I still think it's important to call people in and kind of tell them about the process. And so we'll always say, I want to tell you the reasons, but it's not an excuse. Because at the end of the day, if the system does not work for a voter, we need to figure out what the barriers are in place, how we played into that, and we need to work on fixing them. So having said that, circling back to the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court ordered the Secretary of State specifically to send out applications to all eligible voters. Now imagine a large organization like the Secretary of State's office being tasked with sending an application to, I don't know, I'm going to guess, maybe 800,000 people if you've never done that before. So I think we all hope that the applications would have gotten out a little bit earlier, and that would have been better for voters overall because there'd be more turnaround time. And, you know, with the pandemic, my concern was as great as our postal service is and, you know, and as long it has great longevity, and I'll always recognize public, you know, people who work for the government as doing a great job. There were some delays, making it a challenge a little more for our community is that our mail heads to El Paso. So, you know, there were people that did not get their ballots in time. They were encouraged via social media and every other outlet that we could think of to, if they received it on Monday or that Tuesday, to walk it in the polling locations. And I think, you know, Joanne hit it on the head. How are we going to best inform voters? And I think candidates are a great route, as well as the parties involved. I think, you know, outlets like KRWG and any voice that we have in the public, but that doesn't necessarily meet everybody's needs. You may have people that don't have access to things that we do. So, you know, it's like many things in New Mexico, it's relationship building and going into smaller rural communities that may not feel as connected or are as not, and it's not their fault. So, you know, I hear what you're saying, Joanne. I think that, you know, there are some people that were thrilled with absentee voting or mail-in voting, and they just never want to do it any other way. And then you have the other spectrum where people are not there. And so we have to figure out, where people are not there, what can we do to offer them assistance?
646-2212, 646-2212. If you have a question, Dr. Amanda Lopez Askin, the Doñana County Clerk, on the line for Voice of the Public Coronavirus Update, running an election during a pandemic. We've talked a little bit about the early stages when it became apparent that this was going to be an election like no other. And we just started to delve into the topic of poll workers who already, many of whom are in a high-risk group because of their age alone, but then also might be more susceptible to other health conditions as well. Right. What do you do when you have to keep your polling places open, but your poll workers are made up of a large population of people who would be at risk? How do you move forward?
Well, and also consider that those who have worked to polling locations for many years have a lot of years administering election on the front end. Poll workers are literally the front line of an election and develop an expertise in that. So not only were we not going to be able to utilize the majority of our poll officials, but we're also at the same time losing a lot of that historical knowledge and understanding of elections, right? So it's a double-edged sword in some ways. So again, we assessed the age and the vulnerability, and then we started asking them, you know, are you willing to work? And that was hard because I didn't want any pressure to be involved, and we have a great, you know, individual election official coordinator that was working on it, but you understand why they don't want to work. Would you want to be in a place where hundreds of people pass through potentially every day when you're concerned about the coronavirus and you're vulnerable? Mm-hmm. So we started doing recruitment immediately as soon as we started realizing that we were not going to have the same pool of election officials. What we also made a decision about, which was not something that I felt great about, but I felt it was necessary, is we reduce the number of polling locations across Doñana County, which is against pretty much everything I believe in terms of access. But Election Day, when we barely had enough people to staff, and I'm saying bare minimum, our election sites, and those were 21, it was the right decision because we would not have been able to open up the 40. It was just not something we would have been able to do. And again, this isn't just Doñana, right? This is across the state. You know, Santa Fe right now is literally still tabulating their absentee ballots, right? So this is unusual in the grander scale. But what I also was aware of was that in Wisconsin, as in other places that held their elections when the coronavirus was very active, was that a lot of people got infected. I think 60 or something along those lines in Wisconsin. And there were some poll officials that even died in New York City. So that on my mind, at the same time, we still have to run an election, right?
Yes.
I don't think there was an easy answer. We did whatever we could. We recruited from wherever we could. I'm very fortunate to work with Arid Rodriguez, who's the treasurer at Doñana County, the incomparable Sheriff Ken Stewart, as well as Manager Macias at Doñana County, who worked with us on being able to access some of the county employees and being able to have them work for us as well.
As a matter of fact, Sheriff Stewart is listening on our Facebook page and noted as well this was a problem, you know, limited voting locations across the United States for exactly the same reasons. Yes.
Yeah, so there was no one answer. We did everything we could. And I always said, if there's any other ideas, we're open to them. And at the end of the day, we were able to open all 21 locations. Was it ideal? No. And I think we can all acknowledge that. But we did our best to, you know, kind of work through it. And, you know, kudos to the election officials that showed up. Mm-hmm. And assisted voters and, you know, pushed forward democracy on Tuesday, Election Day. Because
I would call them heroes. I would. I think that
absolutely.
They deserve our gratitude for sure. And I wanted to move into some of the safety measures that you took for Election Day as a result. For many people who did vote from home, what was the scene like?
So are you saying for those who actually chose to head to the polling location?
Right. So for so many who voted from home, they really don't know what that in-person voting experience
was
like. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, as a candidate, I did not have the same experience I would as a clerk. Usually as a clerk, I would be fielding calls, trying to answer questions from election sites, you know, kind of doing a, you know, just a sweep of our community, seeing what's going on in terms of, okay, this needs to happen here. So I had a different experience as a candidate. I did go to many of the different sites. So one thing that I think we need to continue to say often is in Doñana County, we have voting convenience centers, and that means voters can vote at any polling location in Doñana. And historically, you know, prior to, I think, 7 years ago, maybe even longer, that wasn't the case. You had to vote where your precinct was located within your school or whatever it was. And I was one of those people that always voted a certain place. And so then I wasn't aware of VCCs until several years ago, voting convenience centers. So one of the challenges that I had is I went to Sonoma Ranch Elementary and I saw a line, and I knew that, you know, I was hoping the social distancing was working and the markers that we had done. We had included were, you know, helpful, but I also knew that Camino Real Middle School, which was 5 minutes away, had no wait, right? So that's that frustration, like, oh, if you go to Camino or Hornada or one of the other locations. But when a voter walked into a polling location, what they would expect would be no more than five people voting at one time. They would meet poll workers who were in PPE, protective equipment, and they would meet a plexiglass, you know, barrier that would separate the election official from the voter. At that point, we did ask people to wear masks, and most people got on board, and there was no issue with that. And once they identified themselves and they gave identifying information and confirmed their identity, we had people sign instead of a stylus. They used a popsicle stick, right? That was it could be disposable. They used brought their own pen, that's great, but if they didn't, we had one that was sanitized after each use, And you could also use the stylus to input your ballot and then, you know, dispose of it. Or I think my dad said he kept his as a souvenir, right, for the first time that he was voting for his daughter. And so, you know, I got a lot of great feedback about the precautions that we did take. Now, are we perfect? You know, I did, you know, there was something, so-and-so's not keeping her mask on at all times. Well, we have to address those situations, and I think they were addressed appropriately. But in the bigger picture, there, I don't know if we could have done anything else to keep voters safe had they chose to vote in person. And that was the goal, was to keep the polling officials safe, as well as the employees that happen to be there, as well as, of course, our community who are there to exercise their right to vote. That we're thrilled that they're there. We're happy they're there. We just want them to be as safe as possible and maintain their health. Because you should, right, I think the refrain has been you shouldn't have to choose between voting and your health.
Yeah. I just have one suggestion for next time, okay?
Absolutely.
A popsicle stick should have a popsicle on it.
Or a piece of chocolate or something like that, right? It's funny you said that, because one of the things I heard, I think, often from people who voted absentee, and I voted absentee, ironically, myself, was I didn't get my I voted sticker. So I think we're definitely going to invest in I voted from home or I voted absentee or some kind of sticker for people to be able to, you know, use and post a selfie or whatever you miss doing. Because I'm an in-person voter, too, and historically I have always voted in person. I have a tradition of voting, you know, kind of things that are made up into it usually involve my mom, who's, you know, really instilled in me the importance of participation. And so I get it. Some people just didn't want to do it from home. They want to hear that ding in the tabulator. Mm-hmm. They want to feel that experience. Mm-hmm. And I really understand that, because I'm one of those people. Mm-hmm. But if I thought if there was any time I was going to vote from home, this would definitely be the time.
I did have stickers on my list just a little bit later down. So thank you for addressing that.
All right. Well, there you go.
646-2212 is the telephone number to call, 575-646-2212, to be a part of Voice of the Public here on KRWG. Dr. Amanda Lopez-Askin, the Doñana County Clerk, our special guest. The topic, running an election during a pandemic. And we have Olivia holding on the line. Let's see if we can get Olivia on with her question. Good afternoon.
Hi. My question is, how early will you send out absentee ballots for the presidential election?
For the November election. So now November. Thinking ahead, yeah.
Yeah. So we will send absentee ballots in the very first day that we're able to, and that's the first day of early voting. So the very first day we were able to send ballots this year, or this election, was May 5th. Now, that is, so for example, I submitted my application online. It was the easiest for me, and I entered my identifying information, which included my driver's license, my social security number. It accepted it, and that's how I applied. And so when the ballots went out on May 5th, I was able to get one of those. If somebody is applying using a paper application, then there is a little bit of delay in the it's instantaneous, right, when you do it online versus just that little bit of delay. But you can submit your application well in advance and also be part of the ballots that go out the very first day of early voting, May 5th. And I think that's where the challenge was for the clerks, is we wanted the ballots to go out on May 5th for everybody and not have to wait for an application, because we knew, you know, that we have very good systems in place in which we have voters' information. Voters have given us their address. They have, you know, we have them in our system and they've been verified. And so that's why we wanted to send ballots on May 5th to everyone, because then it wouldn't have that delay of the application. And then sending the application in, us accepting the application, filing it, and then the ballot being sent, and then the ballot being sent back. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that could potentially cause some delays that are not ideal for, for the voter.
Absolutely. Do you anticipate that there will be a similar picture in November, or will it look a lot different than it did for the primary?
So I think, you know, everybody's monitoring the coronavirus. I think the entire, you know, collective United States world, or however where your lens is really trying to figure out how it's going to route itself.
I think that we're preparing for the coronavirus still to be something very active. And I am definitely curious as to the special session and the special legislative session. As I mentioned earlier, the Supreme Court let us know that they were not the appropriate entity to take on the decision about to run a mail election or not. They said the legislature was, and so the legislature is meeting in, I think it's a couple of weeks from now. I want to say it's June 18th.
That's correct.
And I suspect that because this is one of the issues that has really been on many people's minds, that there may be something that will be presented to them to make a decision if all these factors. It may be just more of a, for this election only in November, let's have a plan in place to help to facilitate safer voting from home, which, again, even when the plan that went to the Supreme Court on August 14th that the clerks had asked for, it did offer what we called service centers. So it would meet the needs of those who were not able to vote from home, if they needed translation services, if they needed assistance, et cetera. Those service centers would still be open. They just would not be, it would be more the exception versus the rule.
131, and you are listening to Voice of the Public on KRWG. This is KC Counts. Dr. Amanda Lopez-Askin, the Doñana County Clerk, on the line with us. And if you have a question, call 646-2212. That's 575-646-2212. We're talking about running an election during a pandemic. And I want to talk a little bit about what that meant for you as a candidate. But right now, I hope you can hear this, I have another candidate that I spoke with actually on election night to get her take on how the pandemic changed her campaign.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, yeah. A quick conversation with Carrie Hamblin.
Carrie!
Well, it became a really who knows who kind of campaign when it comes down to it. We know that Las Cruces is a small but big city, and people know each other, and so we developed a strategy of reaching out to different communities and different precincts with people who vote, and getting folks to write letters to their neighbors, increasing our social media presence. There's a group called Carrie's Crew that use their social media to spread the word about why I was the best candidate, and these people, provided their own testimonies as to why they felt I was the best candidate. So it was really being creative and using the technology that we have to do that.
Are you encouraged by the absentee voting so far?
The absentee voting has been very confusing for people, and I do want to commend both the Secretary of State and our local county clerk's office, because they've done everything they can to answer questions, and they've been doing so for the past several weeks. When I've been calling people, especially the last week and a half or so, is to really clarify any misunderstanding about the ballot and what that means and how they need to make sure their vote gets counted. Today especially, it was making sure people knew that if they had their ballot in hand, that they needed to go in and vote in person because the ballot wouldn't get there in time. But what it also shows is that there are a group of people that are disenfranchised by this process because they don't have the opportunities or the transportation to be able to do that. And because of the pandemic, these locations were cut down to half for safety's sake and for staffing's sake, and many of them couldn't get to the polls. And so, there really needs to be, for the November election, an opportunity for transportation, free transportation, to help transport seniors and people with disabilities to the polling places, so that they have their voice heard.